The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 18, verse 9 through 11. It is on page 219 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you. Because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. Amen. As I talked earlier, I started taking radiation therapy on last December 2nd and finished it on January 20th with no problem after taking 34 times of therapy for 7 weeks. Since then, I stayed in a recuperation center located in Hongcheon, Gangwon-do province for a month or so. And I deeply thank God for allowing me to be back to this podium and meet beloved members of our church today. Also, I truly thank you for waiting for me, not good enough person, with prayers and patience. When staying in the recuperation center, I once attended a meeting for meditation. The group was small with 4 attendees, a young man and a young woman, a middle-aged lady and me. I took a seat at the back and the other 3 sat in front seat. The instructor who led the meeting looked at the 3 in turn and asked when they feel happy. But no one answered to the question right away. The instructor looked at the young man who sat in his right front seat and asked again when he is happy. He hesitated for a moment and said he did not know because he has never thought about it. The instructor urged him to think harder. After a minute of silence, he answered that he was happy when things go well. The instructor asked the same to the young woman as well. She answered immediately after being asked, as if she was preparing for the answer while the young man was hesitating, she answered that she was happy when eating delicious food. The instructor also asked to the middle-aged woman the same question, and her answer was when hiking mountains with fresh air. Lastly, the instructor looked at me sitting at the back and asked the same question. I said, when feeling the absolute meaning and rewarding about life. On that day, at the small meeting, the conversation about happiness among the instructor and attendees was short. But it was enough to show the reality of today's people. How busy are they? People commute every morning and evening by subway or car, a distance that could not be managed in a whole day by walk in the past. With computers and other high-tech digital devices, a workload per day handled by modern people would be several times compared to just 10 or 20 years ago. Current young men have to build their experience and accreditations like a mountain high in order to survive infinite and repeating competitions. There are, however, only a few people who would think how that hectic and swirling life is linked to their own happiness. They live without thinking what happiness is and when they feel happy. As a result, although with all the information and knowledge, they cannot answer to the question when they are happy right away, or they are confused to think feeling happy with one which cannot be a source of happiness. That young man took a long time to say he was happy when things went well. But is it not true that in life, there's higher chance of facing challenges than things go well? Given that, as long as he thinks he's happy when things go well, he would be unhappy in most part of his life, wouldn't he? The young lady said she was happy when eating delicious food. If she's in financial hardship and cannot afford to buy delicious food, how unhappy her life would be. There are cases when one cannot eat even though there is taste food and with money. If she becomes a cancer patient, she can't. She has to eat bland and necessary food even though it is less delicious. In that case, she might think she's unhappy whenever eating food. Isn't it true? The middle-aged lady said she felt happy when hiking a mountain. If like 2 weeks ago, when microdust from China covered the whole country and couldn't even open a window, how unhappy her life would be. Even if with no accident or illness, one's body naturally becomes weak when getting older. If she cannot hike a mountain at all, when she gets old enough, wouldn't her life end in misfortune when it should beautifully more than any other artwork? Happiness does not exist in changing things that might exist today but disappear tomorrow. Happiness does not exist in materials. Happiness is not relative, of which the meaning and value changes by time and place. Happiness of humans grows in the heart of those who feel an absolute meaning and worth about one's life. Therefore, happiness is given not in this world, where everything is changing and relative, but in the right relationship with the Lord, who is unchanging and absolute truth. Until today, for 12 weeks, we have traced the course of Paul in Corinth 2,000 years ago. In today's text, verse 11, so Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. Soon after, Paul by himself went to Corinth from Athens during his second mission trip. He met with his fellow workers, Silas and Timothy, who came from Macedonia again. And Paul spread the gospel in Corinth for 18 months, longer than other places where he stayed. 18 months is a long period for a strange place. For that period of 18 months, it is not true that everything Paul planned went well. As always, Jewish people in the synagogue where Paul preached in Corinth talked abusively against him. A Greek word, blasphemio, meaning to slander, does not only mean libel or insult. It also means an organized resistance or confrontation, which means the Jews were organized to bully Paul and stubbornly against him. That was not all. Paul could enjoy delicious food in Corinth. As a poor missionary, his life was in hunger, let alone tasted the dishes. He barely lived. He did not go hiking through the forest with fresh air. As a tent maker to make ends meet, he also needed to spread the gospel and couldn't afford to do that. So for 18 months in Corinth, did Paul feel unhappy or misfortunate? It was the opposite. Paul wrote a letter to the members of Thessalonica saying, "Be joyful always, give thanks in all circumstances." It was because, although Paul himself might look poor and shabby, he was enjoying happiness, full of joy and gratefulness. That happiness was not relative, which is felt for a while and then suddenly disappear. It was the absolute happiness given from God. As we looked at last time, the Jews in Corinth who were against Paul ganged up and became more abusive against him to expel Paul. Paul couldn't stand anymore. He almost decided to leave Corinth and to be silent until he leaves Corinth. In verse 9 and 10, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you. Because I have many people in this city." If this word of God can be translated more closely to the original, "Paul, do not be afraid. Keep on spreading the gospel. Do not be silent because I, your Christ, I am with you." The reason why the Lord, who was resurrected from death, was with Paul and told him not to be afraid or silent, but keep preaching, was that there were still a lot of his people who needed to be saved. Again, the Lord wanted to use Paul as a tool to save his people. Even if Paul's clothes were shabby and he was hungry, what can be compared with the absolute meaning and value of his life? Who is with God and used by God? Isn't it natural that Paul was always happy and gave thanks to God in all circumstances because of God who is with him and uses him? God did not only stay with Paul, who was confined under the rule of time and space. God, who transcends time and space, was also God who was going before Paul. As I mentioned when looking at Acts chapter 18, verse 1 to 4, the Lord set Aquilas and his wife, tent makers, to be in Corinth even before Paul went there alone. It was aimed to let Paul, a tent maker, stay there free of charge, helping Aquila and his wife to make and sell tents. When Jewish people in the synagogue where Paul preached the gospel were organized to bully and go against them, a Roman, Titus Justus, who lived next door, gave his house as a worship place. By letting Titus Justus, a Gentile, listen to his sermon in the synagogue, God had his heart open in advance. As such, in the grace of God who was going before him, Paul was able to testify the gospel through his life for 18 months in Corinth, despite all continuous slanders of the Jews. Moreover, for those 18 months, Paul wrote his first letter of Thessalonians 1 and 2 in Corinth to send to the members of Thessalonica. By Paul's letter, taking one-fourth of the New Testament, the system of Christianity was established. That is to say, the system of Christianity started being set up from Corinth, a city of corruption, with the Thessalonians 1 and 2 written by Paul. This was a result that Paul completely depended on God for his life, who is going before him. Although he might seem insignificant from worldly point of view, who would possibly sway or take the absolute happiness from Paul, who was used by God as a tool to establish a system of Christianity in the grace of God, who was going before him? On Our church motto for this year is per the Deuteronomy 1:30, who is God who is going before you. That is why the message of first worship service of this year held on January 1st was God who is going before you. If God only walks with us, He would have no difference than us, who is controlled by time and space. God is not only with us, but also He is going before us. This doesn't mean that God is just a step ahead of us. What God is going before us means is that He goes before us where we are supposed to be and prepares for what we will need. That is why Genesis 22:14 introduces God as the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. Also, the 1 Samuel 7:12 calls the Lord as God of Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." When we look back, we cannot help ourselves but confess, "Thus far the Lord helped us," because God was always going before us to take care of our life, our needs. Israel people who became free from slavery, which went on for 400 years in Egypt, received a report from 12 spies who spied on Canaan, the land of covenant, and they trusted the report of 12 spies that they cannot beat the giant-like natives more. And that of 2 spies who say they can fully beat the native of Canaan and try to go back to the slavery in Egypt. That was because they did not trust God who is going before them, while they say they do believe in God. To believe in God is to believe in God who is going before me. Only such person can completely take one's life to God, as Paul did, and feel the absolute happiness in God under any circumstances. Needless to say, it is because one's life has the absolute meaning and value in God. It was in the morning of January 1st. A member of our church who attended the first worship service sent a cut-talk message to his acquaintances in church. A new year that I was faced at home after attending the first worship service, let us follow God who is going before us as fast as we can. And one church member responded to his message saying, "Rather than following him as fast as we can, isn't it better for us to slowly follow him when God makes his preparation for us?" The man who left a message first responded, "Again, you're right." And another person left a message, "Now, I can live without worrying to no purpose. Then what should I do when God prepares everything for me? What is your opinion on this?" What does it mean that you live your life in God's care? Is it to follow Him as fast as you can? Is it to take your time? Or is it that you don't have anything to do when God is going before you? The February edition of our church newsletter ran an article written by our member, Ms. Lee Se-yun, with title, God Who is Going Before You. Since the article clearly shows what it means to believe in God who is going before you in detail, I would like to read it for you with Ms. Lee's consent. On February 2nd, 1986, in a winter night when snow was fluttering down, my dad suddenly passed away. At the time, I was 8. A young woman lost her husband, and a young daughter lost her beloved dad. An unusually happy family, dad's sudden death. Where was God at the time? How far was He going before us? I longed for having such a happy family like I had in my childhood. I tried and tried to find a spouse who can build such a family together. And I met a man. When I first saw him, he was like running water. And after 1 year, he got a job, and a wilderness began in our relationship. For me, who wanted a happy home, his busy life as a journalist was despair itself. He had to work on Sundays, drink too much frequently, and he was busy with work all the time. It was hard to have a decent date. Oh my God, this is wrong. I spent many nights crying without knowing what to do. And another year has passed, and I was resolute to make a determination. And I went to a silence retreat at the beginning of winter. I walked alone and stopped in front of a cross and kneeled down. It was strange that the strong wind became silent. In silence, there was a voice from God, the voice of Him who sent spies in Canaan, and the shouts of Israel people after spying. On reflection, I came to know before marriage more than what women should know about marriage. It was my intention. It wasn't my intention, but I knew his job that kept him from devoting himself to family, characters of his parents, financial and other hardships of his family. It seemed I found a clue, the mystery. It was a spying on Canaan. But wait, why did God let me spy on there? To test my faith? Is that all? Is it not that He wanted me to show the land He was going to give me? Wanted to be more patient and know the enemy and prepare for it, coming up with how to handle it? He trusted us and expected us. Oh God, I repented that I was only afraid of the giants and thought how to go back without thinking the promise of God. People sometimes ask what love is, and I found my answer. For me, it's trust. Trust in God and trust in Him and God. So my love that I can give is also trust. Maybe I'm still in the wilderness. Maybe I will need to go through more challenges if I want to enter Canaan, but I believe Him who was going before me. At the end of this road is Canaan, a land of flowing with milk and honey. To believe in God, to believe in God who is going before you, is like Miss Lee. To believe in Him who is going before you and gave a situation and prepares for the situation no matter what, And in that situation, to act, what should be done by a Christian with faith? Then we can feel the absolute happiness of canon, no matter what situation we are put in. A land of covenant, canon, begins not from outside, but our heart, who live their life in the care of God, who is going before us. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. Lent is when we meditate the pain of the Lord and repent our lives to be like Christians who were saved. The Lord became the sacrifice of the cross to pay for our sins, even we didn't know God. Even before we called God, He called us as His children. God, who transcends time and space, always goes before us and became our God of Ebenezer, and the Lord will provide Jehovah Jireh. In such God, our life has the absolute meaning and value that cannot possibly be compared to anyone. That God called each of us is His absolute will to complete in this time of history through each life of us. Therefore, we are absolutely happy creatures, happy children in God, and thanks to God. However, what about our real life? Is it not the case that we say we believe in God, but cause misfortune ourselves without believing in God who is going before us? Is it not true that we aimed and pursued something changing and relative that is not happiness, and have never enjoyed true happiness, and are only wasting time in grievance, anger, jealousy, and resentment? What would be more foolish life than one that ends only with regrets after living that way? On this first Sunday of Lent, let us repent our foolishness that we wasted our life in misfortune when we were supposed to be happy. Let us believe in God who is going before us and live our life fully in His care. As Paul stayed in Corinth for 18 months, despite all the slanders and continuous harassment, started establishing the system of Christianity, let us establish our life firmly in faith, believing in God who is going before us under any circumstances. As long as we rely on God who is going before us, we'll definitely be enjoying the absolute happiness of canon, the covenant of God, the reason that God who called us through the cross of Christ is going before you and always for us lies right there. Let us pray. Deuteronomy 10:13 testifies to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that God gave us for our own happiness. Only through the Word of God, one can have the absolute meaning and value. God had His only Son sacrificed on the cross even before we knew him, so that we can live that way. However, even though I said I believe in God, I didn't believe God who was going before me. And I made my life relative and a place full of grievances, anger, jealousy, and resentment. I am deep in a swamp of misfortune that was caused by myself spending every day pursuing what is not true happiness, losing the opportunity to enjoy a true one. On this first Sunday of Lent, a time when we repent, I thank you for allowing me to realize through the life of Paul how foolish I have been. Help me to fully believe that God, whom I believe in as God, who is going before me. From now on, allow me to firmly establish my life of faith where I completely rely on God, who is going before me. No matter what situation I might be put under, help me to be bold enough to act what a Christian is supposed to do in that situation like Paul did, so that we can all relish the absolute happiness of canon in given situation to each of us and grow this world as a canon, a land of covenant. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.